Blog Talk Radio.
Some days you're weary, and you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely,
with no one to say. You can make it. It's only a test. You can take it. And don't you think? So wipe the tears from your eyes. Here's the reason why.
You.
February 18th, I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network, God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Good evening. Good evening. How are
good
you
evening,
doing, sir?
I'm blessed, Doctor. How about yourself?
I am doing great. Excited about
good.
Tonight's show.
Yes, sir. It's always a blessing to be able to spread the good news to those who need it. You know, it's an honor and a privilege, Doctor. So I don't take it lightly. I'm just humbled to be here, sir. I would like to always open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. Lord, you have been good to us. You have been better to us than we have been to ourselves, Father. On this day, right now, this moment, we just thank you. We thank you for health, for strength, for life. Father God, I don't know where I would be without you. I ask, Father, that you would bless this network. Bless, Father God, all the hosts. Bless, Father God, Brother Hakim. Continue to heal his body. Touch him from the crown on his head to the soles of his feet. Bless, Father God, our leader, Sister Michelle. Continue to fill her up, Father, with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, Father God, I ask that you would bless me, your preacher. Use me, Father, in a way that you've never used me before. I offer myself unto you as a living, breathing sacrifice. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, I am excited, and I hope you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. During this time right now, I would have a testimony, but I want to touch on something else just for a minute before we move on. We have had a lot of violence just in the short time of 2018. The other day we had another school shooting. Typically people will speak about the political side and what we need to do as far as the guns and everything. And you know what, I'm not going to touch on that, but what I am going to touch on is the families who lost their children, the families who are hurting right now, the children that are hurting. If you are, or if you know somebody who was affected by this violence, I urge you to go and wrap your arms around them. If there's anybody who has lost somebody this weekend or who is hurting or any issues that's going on that will cause somebody pain, I urge you to wrap your arms around them. This violence has to stop. the church, you know, we've been silent too long. We'll discuss it within the walls, but it's time that we take it outside the walls. It needs to stop. I'm not one to say the person should have prayed more or should have, you know, we can't say what happened in that situation, but I'm asking that every preacher that calls on the Lord and every person that calls on the Lord to step it up. Step up your love. Put your arms around somebody. Say hello. Tell people that you love them. Do you know a word can go a long way? A greeting somebody in love can go a long way. If we just do that, it could change somebody's whole world. It is up to us to spread God's love. We have to do this. Now, I'm not saying that would stop every violent act known to man, but stop some. Teaching our children to love is important. To spread God's love, to tell somebody that you love them, to tell somebody that you're thinking about them, to smile at somebody, it is important. By doing that, we could, you never know, you can turn somebody who was once an enemy into a friend. But it starts with us. Are you willing to do that? I ask right now, Father God, as I come to the throne of grace, that you would touch, Father God, all those affected, afflicted, hurt, families, Father, that you would bless, that you would keep them, that you would wipe the tears from their eyes. Hold them up, Father God, as they question why and why their child, Father God. Be there to comfort them. But I also pray for the young man that did the shooting, Father, that you would touch him, that you would open up his eyes, Father God, and give him a spirit, Father God, that he would know that he was in the wrong, Father God, and that he needs to repent unto you. Hate is filling this world, Father. But I release your love and your compassion on everybody. Just thank you, Father. To anybody who has lost a loved one, Father, that you will bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I sometimes, Doctor, I just don't know. It's we have to do better.
Mm-hmm.
We as God's people, we have to do better. The word of the week is peace. Fine. Any scriptures pertaining to peace and how it affects your Christian walk and your journey. Call in next week and let's discuss your findings. But I always say I want you to live by the scriptures that you find this week. Hide them in your heart. Live by it and see what God will do in your life. since I started this Word of the Week, if you have lived by scriptures that you have found and read, I know God is blessing you abundantly because you have just opened up the floodgates of heaven. It is your turn. It is your time to receive God's blessing. Today I want to do something a little different. I'm kind of in a teaching mode, Brother Akim. So this week I think I'm going to add in a little teaching with my preaching, amen.
Nice.
And I want to touch on, as you all know, the subject for this week is the temptation of Jesus. Pray with me. Eternal Father, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture will come out of the book of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And it reads, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, that they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test.' Again, Satan took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and their riches, and their glories. 'All this I will give to you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Then Jesus said, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. I want to speak on that for a minute. The temptation of Jesus. Now, I've heard this message preached in many different forms. Some preachers have called it the temptation, the test, the past test, the diamond and the refiner's fire. I've heard it preached. But let's just talk about that. Matthew 4:1 says, "Then Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted by Satan." Now, before this, Jesus had just been baptized. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. You heard God speak about his beloved Son. You will see that Jesus was led by the Spirit, which meant that this was God's plan for his life. Being led by the Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness, The wilderness experience is an experience where you have to go, and it seems as if you are by yourself in your experience. Typically, the wilderness experience for man and mankind alike is a lonely, dreadful time. A time where it seems like you're on the east side and God is all the way on the west side. It is a time where you try to find God and in your mind, God is nowhere to be found. But I urge you to think about this for a minute, that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. That means that from all intents and purposes, God was right there with Jesus the whole time, but he had to send him into the wilderness for a reason. You may ask yourself, Jesus being God in the flesh, why in the world would Jesus be tempted by Satan? Well, let's carry on. It says, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was hungry. If you read any of the other Gospels, including Luke, it says that Jesus uttered the words, "I hunger." Well, now, we also know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. With him being fully man, that means that he lived in the laws of man. That means that he had nights that he didn't sleep, even though he wanted to. There were days that he was hungry, and he knew that he was on a fast, so he couldn't eat. There were days that he needed to eat to bring nourishment to his bodies. Everything that went on with man, he had to deal with. He had days where he didn't want to be bothered. He had days where he felt like, why am I preaching to a unfaithful, a unknowing generation? He had days where he felt lonely, where he felt fatigued, where his nights went all night and he could not get a sleep, a wink of sleep in, because he knew that the mission came first. All of these things that he did that we go through, Jesus also dealt with, because he was raveled in flesh. He was wrapped in flesh, which means that he went by the same laws that we go by today. So when Jesus opened up his mouth and said that he was hungry, that gave Satan a point to try to tempt him. Whenever you speak a situation on your life where it may cause some Satan to come in, that's what he does. If you say, I know that I am going to fail something, well, guess what? He comes in with and set up shop to make sure that you fail it. Unless you say that I am blessed by God, when you speak over yourself, you have to speak life over yourself. And at this moment, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he said, I'm hungry. And so the tempter came right to him to try to tempt him, to try to stop God's plan. Well, let's talk about that. Satan tries to stop God's plan on every turn. He tries to, anything that we try to do for God, he's there to stop it. You ever noticed why when you get ready to read your Bible, when you have finally decided that I'm going to get into my word, well, I'm going to finally get closer with God, I'm going to finally understand what God's word says for my life, what I need to do in order to bless God's people, and it's right here in the word, that the minute I pick up my Bible, all day long, I could not sleep. I had I've been sleep deprived. But at that moment that I pick up my word in order to learn more about the Lord and learn more about God, I get sleepy. It is not by accident, but this is how Satan works. Verse 3, it says, the tempter came unto him and said, if you are the Son of God, stones to become bread. In your time of fasting and praying, it is a time that you get closer to God. It is a time that you are allowing God to speak to you, and that you are hearing from God. It is a symbol of a authentic relationship with God. It is a time where you're saying, Lord, I am giving up anything that pleases the body to hear from you, to serve you, to get a word from you, or even simply just to bless your name, Father God, because you have been so good to me. Satan tries to stop it, to ruin it. But you have to be smart and wise enough to know that he's upon you. Satan begins to cast doubt. He began concerning Jesus. God the Father had, he had just declared, you know, that this is my beloved son. So he challenged Jesus to turn them stones into bread. This might have been a weak moment for Jesus. Satan challenged him to prove his divine nature. And by doing so, to meet his own need for food. He said to him, turn these stones into bread. Under different circumstances, it would not have been wrong for Jesus to meet this need by turning the stones into bread. This miracle would have been wrong here because it would have been done here in response to Satan's challenge. Instead of performing a miracle to meet his immediate needs, Jesus trusted the Father. In the midst of our struggle and our temptations, we must trust the Father. If you are going through a temptation, if you are dealing with a situation, and you go to God, and God does not answer you, know that he's behind the scenes working it out for you. It is our duty to trust and believe. Never lack in faith. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Jesus answered in verse 4 and said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written that he will command his angels concerning you, and that they will lift their hands up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That right there is amazing. Do you know that Satan knows Scripture? Do you know that Satan was trying to reverse the Scripture onto Jesus by telling him to throw himself down off of the mountain, off that pinnacle, because God will, let's test God to see what God will do on your behalf? The second temptation came, quickly came, and we read about it in these verses, and the devil dared Jesus to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple. He took him to that in verse 5, it says, what I just read, and Satan again taunts Jesus. He taunts him. He tries to get him to throw himself down. Isn't that just amazing? But Satan used Scripture out of Psalm 91 to try to sit there and say that it doesn't matter what you do, that God says that he will protect you. Satan, he don't give up. He doesn't just give up with one try. He tries you. He pushes you. He pulls you. He tries to tempt you at every turn. And he will tell you that God does not exist, that Jesus doesn't love you, that all this stuff going on, if God loves you, how would he allow all this stuff to go on? I want you to know that it is Satan that's trying to rob you of God's blessing. He said to him that he will give that God will give his angels concerning you. It is just amazing. Jesus said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their splendor, and their riches. My favorite part. And he says, all these I will give to you if you just bow down and worship me. Satan had the audacity to take Jesus and showed him all the cities, all the glories, their splendor and their riches. And he said unto him that all these I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. The first part of that I find amazing was the lie. Satan does not have the power to give nothing to nobody. Satan does not have the power to give any of the cities their riches and their glories unto Jesus, because everything in this earth belongs to the Lord. The Lord says, I have 1,000 hills of blessings for my people, and nothing can stop it if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. He says that I will give all these things to you if you will humble yourself, if you will bow down and worship me. Satan tried to get Jesus to worship him. Can you imagine God in the flesh falling down on his knees to Satan? That would never happen. But what he did was, he tried to use all the physical stuff. You see, and that's what Satan has. All the riches he tries to use against us. All the money he tries to use against us. All the things that means goodness to the body he tries to use against us. Sin is good to the body. Sin makes the body feel good. Sin breaks your relationship with the Lord. Sin comes in and sets up shop and separates you from God. Sin will cause you to go into your own personal hell. And what is hell? Separation from God. So we find that Satan was trying to get Jesus to sin. Now, we all know that, yes, Jesus was fully man and fully God, but he could not sin. He had a human nature, but he had all flesh under subjection. And what I find is that when he told him that I will give you all things, that's something that we need to look at. You see, our children look on social media. They look at the music and the videos and the shows where all these people have all this money and the glitz and the glamour and the cars. And they want that. They want to live like that. They want to have the nice Ferraris and the clothes and the Gucci this and the Gucci that and the Louis Vuitton this and all of these, the furs and the minks. And don't get me wrong, all that's good, but it does not do nothing for the glorification of God. It does not help you to get yourself into heaven. Now, I'm not saying that God won't bless you with those things. God will bless you with them. But do not live your life hoping and wishing to receive glitz and glamour, because I promise you, you will not see God's anointing on your life. Glitz and glamour has its own personal hell. And this is what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to throw something at the man, at the manhood of Jesus. But Jesus said to him, be gone. Get yourself away from me. Go. For it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That if you open up your eyes, your ears, your heart, and your mind, and your spirit to serve God, that God will bless you openly. If you go to God in your secret place and you give your honor to God, if you give your time to God, if you give your praises unto God, if you open up your heart and say, Lord, here am I, use me, despite the fact, Father God, despite the fact of what's going on around me, despite the fact of what I'm seeing, despite the fact of what Satan is trying to throw at me, despite the fact of how he's making my body feel, despite the fact of what the doctor said, despite the fact of what the lawyer said, despite the fact of what the judge may say, despite the fact of how my wife treats me, despite the fact of how your husband treats you, despite the fact of what your kids may be doing, if you give your life and your time and your honor over to God in the midst of your temptation, I can promise you that God will bless. God says that if you give me a little bit of your time, a little bit of if you just give yourself over to me, the blessings will begin to flow. You see, that's what Jesus wanted us to know, that you can be gifted with all these glitz and glamours, but I urge you to bow down and to worship God and worship him only. For if you give your lives over to God, the blessings will begin to flow. God is telling you, is saying to somebody that I have a blessing with your name on it. I remember a story that my mother used to tell us as children, that there was a gentleman by the name of Justin. And Justin died and went to heaven. And when Justin died and went to heaven, that Justin was being he was greeted by St. Peter. And St. Peter took him around and showed him all the wonders of heaven. And in the midst of these wonders, he saw a door. And he said, that door, what's in that door? And Peter said, you don't want to go in there. And he said, okay. They went around a second tour of heaven. They came back to that door. And Justin said, Peter, what is in that door? Peter said, again, Justin, you don't want to see that door. On their third go around, Justin said, now, Peter, you have brought me back to this door a third time. There is something in here drawing me to this door, and I need to see what's in this room. Peter said, if you wish, let's go. Peter took him into the room, and as far as the eye could see, Justin saw nothing but a big old warehouse full of boxes. And on these boxes was a name, and the name was Justin. And Justin said, Peter, what are these boxes, and what's in these boxes, and why do they have my name on them? And Peter said, because Justin, these are all the blessings that God had for you that you never asked for. I'm here to let somebody know right now that you've been going through this temptation far enough, that God has led you into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and you have passed your test. Now it is time to receive your blessing. It is now time to receive what God has for you. It is your time to receive God's anointing. Has God called you to preach the word? It is now time for you to get up and preach the word. Has God called you to teach the word? It is now time that you get up and teach the word. You have proven yourself unto God that you are ready, willing, and able. Well, guess what? We all go through that temptation, but it's how you come out of temptation, amen? Don't fall. Don't falter to this temptation. Stand up and take your time and deal with it, and guess what? You will go up the rough side of the mountain, amen? One of my mothers in ministry used to tell me that all the time. Son, you're going up the rough side of the mountain, but when you come off that mountain, you're going to come out shining like pure gold. I'm here to let you know right now that it's time for somebody to start shining like pure gold. You have just seen that Jesus went through the temptation, and Jesus went through this temptation just because he could see and know what man goes through, amen? So we can count our high priest as a priest who has dealt with all issues, all circumstances, circumstances or situations that come upon him. In those 40 days, he had some sleepless nights. In those 40 days, he hungered. In those 40 days, he got frustrated. Depression tried to sneak in. All of these things that come upon us that he dealt with in those 40 days. But glory be to God, he passed his test. He did not allow the earthly things to come upon his spirit. But what he said was that I have passed my test, that I can go out and I can teach and I can preach and I can be sympathetic to the man and know what they deal with, because glory be to God, I went through my temptation and I passed it. Will you pass your test? Have you gone through the storm? You will find that when you go through the storm, you get wet, and being wet is uncomfortable, especially if it's cold rain. Brother Akim, I hate when I get some cold rain upon me and it hits on the back of my neck. It's like when it touches me, I can't do nothing. I'm just chilled from the top all the way down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going through a storm, know that Jesus is two things. He's your umbrella, and he's your life preserver. That water may get so high that you begin to float. Jesus will wrap his arms around you, around your neck, and around your waist, and you will float on top of the water. The rain may beat down upon you so tough that you can't see what's in front of you. But Jesus will be your covering. He will be your umbrella. For the children of Israel, he was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In their wilderness, due to their lack of faith, they walked around in a complete circle, not knowing that, and a generation were falling, dropping dead, but their clothes never faded. God was there with them the whole time. I can even look at Adam and Eve. When tempted, they fail. But God, before he sent them out of the garden, the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 4 that God clothed them and sent them on their way. God got them ready for the storm. I pray that this message has touched somebody today. If you are going through your temptation, a temptation period, turn to God. If you are on that mountaintop and you're being tempted by the devil, know that you should only worship the Lord your God and him alone. Tell Satan to get away from you, for you belong to God. This week, I want us to remember that. Get away from me, Satan, for I will worship the Lord my God and him alone. When it gets too great for you this week, say that to yourself. I urge you to speak blessings over your children, over your children's children. Bless those that you see this week. Don't fall into the temptation of giving evil for evil. Let's show some love. This has been the temptation of Jesus. May God bless you and may God keep you. Amen.
Amen.
As we Amen, doctor.
Got me on the edge of my seat over here.
Amen. Amen. That's it's just so powerful. It's just so it's meaningful because we all go through it. And it's like we're just tempted on every turn. But I promise you, if you turn to God, He will bless you and He will keep you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give somebody an opportunity to, for a prayer request, or if you just want to join in on the conversation, or if you have something that you want to bless us with, now is your turn. Now is your time. The phone lines are open. Hey, man, is there anybody that would like to give us a word?
Yes, we have someone who's been waiting. I'm going to patch him in right now.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair. God bless you.
God bless you. It's me, Darius, the loyal caller. Been listening to your sermon. It was real good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you, Brother Darius.
And I want to say you were talking about what happened about Florida. If you mind, I'm going to say President Trump said we need to make America great again. To me, I said we need more of God again in this world.
Amen. Amen. I 1,000,000,000% agree with you, sir. We need to let... Yes.
And all these, and I'm not just, see, all these events has been happening, from school shootings. We had hurricanes going on last year. I believe God is really not pleased.
Mm.
I may be wrong, but I'm a Sunday school teacher. I believe because God will always give you a wake-up call when you least expect it.
Amen. Amen. That, you know, that reminds me of the episode last week when we spoke from the book of Joel, and how God sent a locust, you know, to the people to destroy the lands because the people were not praying. People were not giving Him what He rightfully deserves, which is praise. Praise for what He's doing. And God is still in complete control. God is in complete control. And Brother Darius spoke about Donald Trump. God is in complete control. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. Amen, Brother Darius. Thank you for that that wonderful insight.
Yes, and I'll be looking forward to tuning in next week.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I look forward to talking to you, and until then, may God continue to bless you and keep you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Do we have anybody else, Brother Hakim, that would give us a blessing that will bless us this Sunday evening? Amen. If you are looking to give us a word today or a prayer request, now is your time to call into the show, amen.
Yep.
I'm looking and I'm ready to.
Yeah, we have quite a few people who are on the line listening, and they're I guess they're enjoying the word as usual. But just
amen.
Press the number one on your keypad of your phone, and it'll let us know that you would like to be heard.
Amen. The number is 646-787-1798. This is your time. This is your show. You are God's people. Let's have a discussion. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So
I just
had a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Because after seeing the absolute chaos and suffering that's going on in Florida, there's a lot of young people who I've seen just watching shows like CNN and MSNBC some of those people are literally lost. And it's not, you know, it's not a black thing or a white thing. It's like every kid who was a part of that community or went to that school, had a friend at that school, I mean, they were just in tears. It was like it brought tears to my eyes. And
mm-hmm.
My thing is, they have to feel pretty lost right now. They have to be in a place of anger, hurt, suffering. What do you recommend for them?
I recommend.
What would you tell them if you were on the ground?
To love one another. To bind together. You may not have friends. The only way to get through tragedy is to get through it together. Family and friends are so important when dealing with an issue such as that. Even if you don't know a person, I would urge them all to get to know somebody who is going through what they've gone through in that situation and to love, to crown each other's shoulder, to listen to the good times that they have to speak about their children, that they should all come together and love on each other. The churches should go out and touch on and be in the community. That's what I would do. I would go door to door, and I would touch, and I would sit, and I would pray with, and I would be a listening ear, and I would just do whatever it takes to make them feel as if God is right there, which God is. But I would be a listening ear. I would just do whatever it takes to make them feel comfortable. And it's not an easy task, because death is something that we cannot explain, but we do know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I would just open up blessings unto the people. Is whatever I could do, I would do it. And that's what I urged him to do, to be a blessing. Those who were affected and those who were not affected. You guys need to pull together and start praying and loving on some folks. Mm. That's what I would say, brother.
I love it. They sure enough need it.
Amen. And just to add one more aspect to this, I love the slogan, "What would Jesus do?" But what did Jesus do? When he was on the cross, the biggest tragedy of his life, he said, "Father, forgive them and bless them, for they know not what they do." In the midst of the tragedy, we have to bless each other, just as Jesus blessed us. When they pierced his side, when they mocked him, when they spat in his face, when they beat him, when they whipped him, when they did all these things, and at any moment he could have called down a legion of angels to save him and to wipe all those people out. But he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." In the midst of a tragedy, bless somebody. Be there. Comfort them. Hold them in your arms. Love goes a long way. I urge you. I promise you, if you love, the blessings will flow. I'm praying that God will wipe the tears from their eyes. And if any of you are listening who experienced a tragedy, remember the good times. Remember the good times. And it's hard. And you have us here at the Jubilee Affair to call on. If you need me, email me. Send me a message on Facebook with your number, and I'll call you, and I'll talk with you all night I'll do whatever it takes to comfort you. For you're not in this by yourself. We're in this together. Brother Akim, is there anybody that would like to give a word?
Someone just hit the magic button. So let's bring him in.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Thank you. This is Sister Townsend, Reverend Townsend's mother.
Amen.
In listening to your sermon and talking about the problems with the guns and the violence and all, as you know, if we depend on the Lord, He will carry us through anything and everything. But I do believe that a lot of these problems that's coming up in the schools, or that has come up in the schools, is that a lot of these children are persons that did all of the shooting and hurting their classmates. A lot of it has to do with mental issues, being bullied in school, not having anyone to talk to, or afraid to talk to anyone about their feelings. And it's really a sad, sad situation, because I thought about one of the kids that was shot was 14 years old. And that really, all of it hurt me to hear all of the, that all of the children that were killed. It's unfortunate. And to know that when they left for school that morning and said goodbye to their parents for the day and never to return, that is such a hurtful thing. It has to be from the top of your top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. But prayer changes things.
Amen.
And we have to believe that. We have to believe that. Because if we don't believe, then where will we be? What is the answer to all of the violence, all of the drugs, all of the guns? How are young people getting these guns? How are they getting? It's unfortunate that it's happening. And I do hope that we don't see it again anytime soon or anymore. It's just unfortunate that it's going on.
Amen.
I just felt like I needed to add that in. Have a blessed evening, everyone.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mother. We appreciate you. Amen. Wow, this show is...
We have one more caller, but we only have like 30 seconds left in the show.
Amen.
I'm going to try to
squeeze
it in real quick.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair. Yes, absolutely.
Hello, caller.
We can't hear you, sir.
Hello, Reverend Townsend. I agree with your mother. I think it's the case where people have just given up, gotten off the path, and are in the dark of the abyss. A lot. And what we need to do is turn back to God. Those that cause trouble at the school and do all this killing have demonstrated that they are truly lost and need to return to the path so that they can find themselves and become connected to God.
Amen. Amen. That's a true blessing. That's a true blessing. And thank you for that insight. Amen. I look forward to discussing more with you all. If you guys want to talk on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook and we can continue this discussion. Amen. Like always, I pray that God will bless you and that God will keep you in all that you do. This is the Jubilee Affair. God bless you.